you, team, for that word. In my Father's house, there's a place for me, and you have come here this morning, right, to seek God. And I pray that you hear from God this morning. Got my water down there just in case. This morning we are going to encounter a man and also encounter Jesus. And Jesus asked a question of this man. And he asked him this question, and it's a yes or no question, but he answers with excuses. You see, many of us learn at a young age the gift of making excuses. The gift of making excuses. I want to share a video with you this morning of a sweet little girl named Cora who has learned at the age of 3 how to make excuses. So I want you to watch this video with me.
Because
why?
Because I didn't do it. This was my tummy hurts and my neck hurts.
Cora, give your brother a hug.
I can't.
Why not?
Because I really can't poke it because I can't do it.
Tell mommy again.
No! I don't.
Hey, Cora, I need you to pick up the toys on the ground, please.
I can't, my feet don't work.
Or go get your shoe out of the car.
It's too far.
Why?
Because I can't beat it.
Cora, you ready to go?
Yeah!
Do you have shoes on?
No.
No shoes. We can't go until you get shoes. Can you go get your shoes on, please?
Yeah.
I don't want to get your shoes. You need to be obedient. Go get your shoes.
Fine.
Cora, pick up your room.
I can't.
Why not?
Because
Three?
Yeah.
3-year-olds can clean up.
No.
Yes, they can.
No.
Why?
Because they really can, because my neck hurts and my arms hurt.
Oh. Alright, I guess it's time for bed then. Why aren't you in your pajamas?
Because.
Isn't she precious? Precious, unless, you know, we've all experienced those kind of children, right? I can, I can't. For some of us, we still embrace this I can't attitude. And some of us have never grown out of it. I want to share a passage with you from the book of John. It comes from the 5th chapter. Feel free to read along, but hear these words as I read them aloud. It comes from the New American Standard Bible Translation. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, there was a pool, which is called Bethesda, having 5 porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew he had already been there a long time in that condition. And Jesus said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" And the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus says to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his mat and began to walk. Now, to give you some context of this passage, it was the Sabbath day. So the Jews were saying that man was cured, but it was the Sabbath, and it was not permissible for the man to carry his mat, as we continue on in this scripture. And he answered them, "Who made me well was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Pick up your mat and walk?'" But the man who was healed did not know it was who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while he was there, while the crowd was in that place. Thousands of years prior, people traveled to this location seeking healing. This is a turning point in the Gospels for them and also for us. Jesus had performed two miracles prior to this, but they were private miracles. One being when he turned water into wine at the wedding at his mother's request. Hear this passage from John 2, starting at the first verse. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with us?" I love it. Can't you hear the tone? Like, this is not our problem. "My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says, you do it." I love it. She pulls the mom card. Jesus wanted to make his mom happy. I love it. I kind of think of he's the original mama's boy. Don't you just love it? Got a soft spot in your heart. And then the second miracle happens also. We hear about it in John chapter 4, the healing of a nobleman's son. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply do not believe." And the royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." So Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. And as he was going down, his slaves, they met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour which he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, a fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that hour which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This time last year, I was in Jerusalem, and I visited the beautiful St. Anne's Church. I've got a photo of it up there to share with you. It has medieval architecture. It has a stone interior, and the sound of heaven inside with the most beautiful acoustics. And many come from near and far to sing in this basilica. It was a Byzantine church that was rebuilt in the 5th century. And out front of this church, you will find the most beautiful, colorful gardens and also just the most gorgeous shade trees. It's a majestic location, majestic. And just to the right of the basilica, you will find the remains of the ancient Bethesda healing pools. And some of you may or may not know this, but Bethesda means house of mercy, or house of grace. In our narrative today, we gather around the water, and we envision large pools of water, almost like a hot spring bubbling up. I think you can have that image in your mind. And there are five large porticos offering shade from the sun and a place to lie. There are masses of people everywhere, and they have gathered around the pools. Some of them are unable to walk. Some are inflicted with disease. Some are unable to hear. Some are unable to see. And we meet Jesus at the Pool of Bethesda. It's inside the old city walls. It's by the Sheep Gate. And it's festival time, but Jesus, the Lamb of God, has come for a purpose. And that purpose is to share a message and for his miracles to become public for all to see. Again, a turning point in the Gospels. No longer these private miracles, but public miracles. Just want to share with you some of the images as you're seeing on the screen. These are the remains of those healing pools in the old city of Jerusalem. So again, people who were afflicted came from near and far, and they were seeking healing. Today is Epiphany, the day where the Magi came seeking a babe named Jesus. Jesus came to the healing pools this day, seeking a specific man. And it was also the Sabbath, and this was a day to be set apart for God. No work was to happen on this day, and the prophets of the Old Testament always pointed to the coming of the Messiah. I want you to hear these words from the prophet Isaiah from the Old Testament. Even the wilderness and the desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. For the Lord is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf, and the lame will leap like deer. And those who cannot speak will sing for joy. You see, Scripture was fulfilled as told by the prophet Isaiah. But the religious leaders were so hung up on legalism. It was about the rules and not the people. Instead of issuing a ticket for jaywalking, they were issuing tickets for mat walking, so to speak. The religious officials were spiritually blind that the Redeemer had come. Those who gathered at these pools were there for years. And it was hard for new people to even get near the water. Everybody had to get there early to get a good seat. They wanted to get there early to get a good seat. Some of you have attended parades in your lifetime. I had the privilege when I was in high school, just a few years ago, to attend the Rose Bowl parade out in Pasadena. And we camped out the night before, slept on the street, so we had a good spot that next day for the parade. Many of you have attended concerts where there's open seating or possibly a play, and you want to get there early so you get the best seat. You want to be up close. And then when it's warmer weather and we head to our neighborhood pools, we like to get there when it opens, right? So we can take our towel and we lay it out so that way we've claimed our territory. We've got the spot right by the water. You get the idea. You get the idea. People had been there, and they claimed their real estate, and they weren't moving. They were not moving. And we get this glimpse of an exchange between Jesus and the man. Jesus asked the man, do you wish to get well? Do you wish to get well? This was a yes or a no question, and he answers with excuses. I'm all the way in the back. I'm all the way in the back. I can't even see the water because of all of the people. There's no one to put me in the water when it's stirring. And then they cut line in front of me, and they get in front of me to go down before. All of these excuses. We learn that the man that Jesus came to heal had been there for 38 years. 38 years, a very long time. That's 456 months, 13,870 days. You see, the Jewish nation wandered in the wilderness, waiting hopelessly for something to happen. Hear these words from Deuteronomy 2:14. 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered Valley, and by then the entire generation of fighting men had perished from the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. 38 years this man waited, confined to his mat, confined to his bed, waiting for something to happen. You see, some may see this situation as hopeless. But as Christians, we have endless hope. Amen? Endless hope. I love this quote. I'd like to share it with you, and many of you are familiar. The world tells us that you've made this bed, right? You've made your bed, now lie in it. We've heard that. Maybe somebody has said it to us. But Jesus says, you made your bed, but I say to you, you can get out of it. You can get out of it. No matter how miserable your life has been, no matter how lame your spiritual life may be, or how long you've been limping, Jesus can change it. Jesus can change it. As we start a new year, what do you wish for? Different than a resolution. What do you wish for? Are you waiting for a sign? Maybe a stirring of the water at the pool of Bethesda, holding out hope. Maybe coming to the point in your life where you know that you can't do it anymore, and you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Maybe you're wanting physical healing, spiritual healing, relationship healing, healing from addiction, from drug use, from eating to deal with emotions, possibly some poor internet choices. I'm putting that lightly. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? What is your response? Do you have excuses like the man at the pool? Or are you like, yes, Jesus, I'm ready. I am ready. I am ready. You see, we all have the opportunity to grow through what you go through. It's up here, to grow through what you go through. Oh, we have that opportunity. If we let ourselves, if we choose, we can grow through what we go through. All of us are lying on a mat of some sort, all of us. And we've grown attached to it, and it's become comfortable, and it's easy for us, but there is more. There is more, but we have to say yes. Yes to Jesus. Do you wish to be made well? Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And immediately the man became well and picked up his mat and began to walk. You see, Jesus meets us here this morning and offers us abundant life, healing, and wholeness, and wellness. We're about to enter into a time of holy communion with our Lord, but I want to offer you a time of prayer. You see, we all have our prayer time with the Lord each day, but there are a few of us that have the opportunity to have someone to lay hands and pray over us. So I would like to extend that opportunity to you after the service to stay after. You'll find me up front. I would love to have a time of prayer with you, to pray over you for whatever it is that you wish for. I want to invite the team to come forward as we pray and prepare our hearts for communion. Father, we come before you. We thank you that you meet us here. God, what an honor it is to come and worship you this day. As we prepare our hearts to receive you through the elements of communion, we are reminded, Father, of this meal and what you did for us and what you do in us. That we are changed, that we are transformed through this meal. It's not something that we just merely remember. So, Father, we come before you now, and I pray your blessing upon these elements of the bread and the cup, Lord, that they would be for us your body and your blood. And I pray for those who are going to receive these elements, Lord, your chosen, your beloved, your children who have gathered here this day, come seeking you, Lord, to fill them to overflow. Father, we want more. We come this day seeking more of you. We take a moment to seek forgiveness for the things that we have done the sins that we have committed in our lives, the transgressions, Lord. We give those to you. Father, we thank you for a new year, and we thank you for a new day in you. And we thank you that regardless of how many times we come to this table, that you are always here waiting for us. Father, I come before you now, and we come before you now to pray the prayer that you taught your disciples. Won't you join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.